Jana Balaba Giribarhari. Jashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yashoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Yamuna Tira Vanachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnu Para Paramahansa Paribraja Kachaja Ashtotra Shukshi Shiman His Divine Grace Abhaya Charanaravind Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Iskon Pratista Acharya Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Jai Ananta Kota Vaishnavrind Ki Jai Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sri Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shiva Shari Gaur Bhaktavrind Ki Jai Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kund Radha Kund Giri Govardhan Ki Jai Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadeep Sri Mayapur Dham Ki Jai Ganga Mai Ki Jai Jamuna Mai Ki Jai Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai Sri Harinam Shankitan Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai Jai Nitai Go Premanandi Hari Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda Ki Jai All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glory to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Namo Vishnu Padaya, Vishnu Padaya, So we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 6, text number 6. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kumsho Varsha Shatam Hi Ayush Tadartham Chajidatmana Vishpalam Yad Asho Ratyam Shete Andam Prapitas Tamaha Humso Vasha Shatam Yayush Tathardham Chatitendratma Nispalam Yara Suratyam Seti andam prapitas tamah Hum sovasha shatam yayush Parartam chajitatmanahan Nispalam yada suratyam Seti andam prapitas ॐ सौभाषामियायुष ध्याधारं चाकिरात्मनः निष्फलं यारशूरत्यं शतियान्तं प्रापितास्तमः ॐ सौभाषाशतं धियायुष धारहारं चाचिदात्मनः निष्फलं यारशूरत्यं शेत्यन्दं प्रापितस्तमः ॐ सम्भाषं शतमियायो धारहारमचिदात्मनः निष्फलं यातोरत्यं शतियान्दां प्राप्तस्तमः Humsha, oh sorry, Matajis. Humsham Brasha Satyam Yayus. Haratam Chachidat Manaham. Nisphalam Yata Suratyam. Shetiyandham Papitas Tamaham. ॐ सौभाषाशतमियायुष धारहारं चाचिदात्मनः निष्फलं यदशूरत्यं शेत्यन्दं प्रापितस्तमः पुंसा of every human being Varsha Shatam of 100 years, he indeed, Ayo, duration of life, tat of that, Ardham, half, cha, and Achiti Atmanaha, of one who is a servant of his senses. Nishvalam, without profit, without meaning, yet, because, the show, that person, Ratriyam, at night, Shete, sleeps, Andham, ignorance, forgetting his body and soul, Prapita, being completely possessed of Tamaha, darkness. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace the Bhai Charanadavin Bhaktivedanta Swami Sri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years. But for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are completely lost because at night, he sleeps 12 hours, being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a lifetime of only 50 years. Please repeat. Every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years. But for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are completely lost. Because at night he sleeps 12 hours, being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a limited lifetime of only 50 years. Purport. Lord Brahma, a human being and an ant, all live for 100 years. But their lifetimes of 100 years are different from one another. This world is a relative world, and its relative moments of time are different. Thus, the 100 years of Brahma are not the same 100 years of a human being. From Bhagavad Gita, we understand that Brahma's daytime is 12 hours equals 4,300,000 times 1,000 years. Sahasra Yuga Pariyantam. Aha Yad Brahmano Vidu. Thus, the Varsha Shatam, or the 100 years, are relatively different according to the time, person, and circumstance. As far as human beings are concerned, the calculation given here is right for the general public. Although one has a maximum of 100 years of life, by sleeping one loses 50 years. Eating, sleeping, sex life, and fear are the four bodily necessities. But to utilize the full duration of life, a person desiring to advance in spiritual consciousness must reduce his activities, and that will give him an opportunity to fully utilize his lifetime. Om Agyanti Mirandasya Jananjanan Shalakayo Takshuram Minitam Dhinatasmaya Shri Hirina Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garata Shri Bhashari Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So here Prahlad Maharaj is saying how half a life is wasted simply by sleeping. Then he goes on to describe the next few slokas of the different aspects of his diminution of time. But here he's talking about sleep specifically. And he's saying you practically lose half your time by sleeping. For those in the mode of ignorance. So everyone has 100 years of life. Brahma has 100 years of life. He lives for 100 years. Everyone lives for 100 years according to his his calculation. It's a relativity. Prabhupada used to give an example in Mayapur, especially in the rainy season, and all the bugs and pockers would come, and at nighttime they would come out, and they would fly around the light. Still you see today, but before we didn't have many lights, so there's many more bugs coming in, right on the bank of the Ganga, so they all accumulated where there were light. So they would fly around and around, and in the morning they'd all be on the floor dead. And Prabhupada said, for these bugs, they had a lifetime also of 100 years. They were born in the early evening, they were flying round and round, they had sex, reproduced, and in the morning they were all dead. That was their lifetime of 100 years. They're all dead. But they did everything in that 100 years. They lived, they ate, they had reproduced. And then they died in the course of one night. But that was their lifetime for them. So it's relative. It's like Prabhupada said, that's 100 years. and then all dead. So similarly, Brahma lives, it seems a long time, he's 100 years. For us, it's the same thing. It's that for Brahma, it's a lifetime, that's all. For us, it's a life. For everyone, it's a lifetime. So we're advised to give up these necessities, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. And we see Mahaprabhu was alive. When Mahaprabhu started his Sankirtan movement at Shiva Sangam, they would do their kirtan and everything at night time, evening time, and then they would go back to the houses. And then Mahaprabhu said, why do we always go back home? Why do we don't just continue staying chanting? What's the point of going back home? We're only going home to sleep, so why don't we stay longer? So this is a good idea, great idea. So then they'd stay up all night until the sun was just about coming, and then they would go. So Mahaprabhu showed how he was giving up sleeping for chanting. Kirtan. Prabhupada also gave up sleeping for a higher purpose, to translate his books. it was voluntary, but there was a cause was behind it, otherwise he may not have done it. But the cause was that Prabhupada said that I can't translate my books. I'm managing a worldwide movement here, and I'm getting questions from all over the world, whole day long, telephone calls, letters, no email in those days. And Prabhupada was managing this worldwide movement. It was, you know, like everything from, not the movement, but even how we should clean ourselves. So we didn't even know how to clean ourselves properly. We didn't know how to put on a dhoti or sari. Anyway, this was Prabhupada. He had to deal with everything. He had to bring us up to some standards. And then you've got the actual movement itself and the all the different temples around the world, and everything is new. Everything is new. So they're all asking Prabhupada, what about this? What about this? What about this? But Prabhupada said, I can't get any time for writing my books. It's my guru's instruction. Thank you. It was my guru's instruction to print books, but I can't do it because I'm just all the time managing the place. So Prabhupada said, I prayed to Krishna. He said, Krishna, please let me not be able to sleep at night. Then I can translate my books. And he said, Krishna fulfilled my desires, and therefore I don't have to sleep at night. And nobody bothers me at night, because everybody's very much likes their sleeping. So nobody come and ask Prabhupada questions at night time, because that was their sleeping, they like that. Yoga Nidra. So then Prabhupada could stay up and whole night translating. So he voluntarily gave up sleeping. So we can get these books, we have these Srimad Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is Prabhupada's lack of sleep, you can say. This is the product of Prabhupada's lack of sleeping. But that's enlightenment. Now the whole world is enlightened by it when they get the Bhagavatam. But otherwise, if it's just something's produced from lack of sleep, it's nothing. It's a tamagun. So here he's saying that sleeping is just simply a waste of time, Prahlad is saying. Actually, there's different stages of consciousness. There are four stages of consciousness. One is the awakened stage, so-called awakened stage, that we're experiencing right now. We think we're awake. And then there's dreaming state. You go to sleep at night, you're dreaming, so you have a different experience. Even you leave the body, you get a different body in your dream sometimes. So there's another state of existence we're experiencing. First the awakened state, then the dreaming state, and then we get a stage of deep sleep. We are conscious of deep sleep. Sometimes you wake up and you think, well, I had such a good sleep, a really deep sleep, feel better for it. So you were conscious that you had a deep sleep. So that's another state of existence. You were conscious that you had it, so that's the third stage of existence that we can perceive. And the fourth stage is called Turiya, or transcendental. That we cannot maybe perceive at the present moment, but that's the stage of liberation, Chetodarpana Marjanam. After the heart is clean, then you can perceive another state of existence, that is your spiritual existence and relation to Krishna, service to Krishna. So four stages of consciousness that we, the living entity, can experience. But the sleeping and dreaming stages, nothing, it's just wasted. And the deep sleep also, those three of those are more or less just wasted. Not entirely wasted, because sleeping is also one of the characteristics of intelligence. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, when it's talking of the creation of the universe, intelligence, and it gives us some of the characteristics, and one of them is sleeping. And Prabhupada said, if you don't get proper sleep, then the brain doesn't work properly, and then you can't function properly. So therefore sleeping is also, or lack of sleep, sometimes we, too much lack of sleep, we can't function properly also sometimes. So sleeping should be there to give the Prabhupada, give the brain some rest. So it's a symptom of intelligence. And also in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that one who is regulated in his eating, sleeping, etc., only he can become a yogi. So we should be regulated in eating, sleeping. Prabhupada was able to be asleep just a couple of hours in the day. But he was very regulated, very regulated. So today is, or this week, is the week of Harinam. Harinama week, we were asked to speak something on the holy name. Holy Name Week. Has it started already? Yes? Okay. So, Hare Krishna. Gaur Ganadesha Deepika by Kavi Kanapur. Prabhupada often quotes him. And this is text 26 and 27. The son of Maharaj Nanda, Krishna, who is the ocean of transcendental mellows, has accepted internally and externally the transcendental mood and effulgence of Sri Radhika. Although he was Vasudeva of the original quadruple forms, when he saw the dancing of the Gandharvas at Dwaraka, he became so agitated that he decided to appear in this world as Sri Chaitanya. Although he eternally resides in Dwarka, he manifested himself within the form of the son of Sachi. Simultaneously, he appeared as the holy name of the Lord, And so he is known also as Nama Avatara. So this, here is saying that the Vasudeva of the Chaturvyuha, he manifested the holy name. And also it's mentioned Nityananda Prabhu, also the holy name expands from him. Nityananda Prabhu, he's the existential potency. Adara Shakti, he manifests as the Dham, the existence of everything. Everything is a manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu. So he manifests as the Dham as Krishna's body and the holy name. He manifests everything that we see here in the Dham, all the forms and things, that's all a manifestation of Sandini potency or Nityananda's potency. So also the holy name is a manifestation from Nityananda. So we have two sources of the holy name. One is Nityananda and one is Vasudeva. Jiva Tattva also emanates from Vasudeva because Vasudeva is conscious and we are conscious. So therefore our source is conscious. So therefore the Jiva emanates from the conscious or Vasudeva. So the holy name is also conscious, completely conscious being, non-different than Krishna. So the holy name of all the people from America, from Europe, from India, that they all join together and dance and chant the holy names of Krishna in Harinam Samkirtan. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he wanted to see everybody dancing in the ecstasy of the holy name. So this is the mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So there's ecstasy in the holy name, and because everybody's searching for happiness, this is the goal of life. Whatever anybody does in this world is for happiness. So Nityananda Prabhu is saying, "And you're doing something in this world, some activity. So give up all of that karma and jnana. You're doing something. You're working hard to get some happiness. So why not take this happiness where you don't have to work hard for it? You simply have to dance and chant. And it's much greater happiness that you're going to get from your karma and jnana anyway." Mahaprabhu has come to give his Braja Prema in the form of his holy name. Golokera Premadana Harinam Samkirtana. What was that Prema of Raja that's descended in Navadvipa into this world as the holy names of Krishna? So this is this is the vision of the Acharyas. They want to see everybody dancing in ecstasy, dance together in ecstasy. So ecstasy is there, you have to dance in the ecstasy. Wherever the holy name is going on, the ecstasy is there. If you just absorb yourself in it, but it's there, the ecstasy is already there. Non-different than the Lord. Just when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Gaya, on the plea of doing pinda for his father, but he met his spiritual master there, and then he was initiated at that time by Ishvara Puri into the holy names, chanting the holy names of Krishna. And within a couple of days, he saw his guru. He said, "I don't know what kind of mantra you have given me to chant, but when I'm chanting, I'm doing all kinds of crazy things. I'm laughing, I'm dancing, I'm jumping, and
like uncontrollable, as if I've become mad, puggle. Please tell me what I should do. And his Guru Maharaj said, very good, my son, very good. You keep on doing, keep on chanting, this is very, very good. Symptoms. So the ecstasy was there. Where was it coming from? Mahaprabhu, where was it coming from? It was coming from the holy name. He was chanting the holy name. And he was feeling ecstasy. So where was that ecstasy coming from? It wasn't coming from himself. Of course, he is the holy name. But no, it's coming from Krishna in the form of his holy name. So Mahaprabhu showed by his example there that he immediately felt the ecstasy when he was chanting the holy names. And because, see, the holy name is non-different. The Krishna is non-different than his name. This is the absolute nature of Krishna. Krishna's form, Krishna's name, and Krishna's ecstasy also is non-different. So it's there wherever Krishna is. The ecstasy is there because it's non-different from Krishna. And his name is non-different, so he's... Wherever there is a name, then that ecstasy is there. So dance in the ecstasy. You absorb yourself in the chanting, and the ecstasy, you'll absorb yourself in the ecstasy of the Lord. It's not something different. Or just when at Panihati festival, when Nityananda Prabhu was having his festival, Chiraday Mahotsav, there Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared. But not everybody could see him. But they could all feel the ecstasy. They're all chanting, Hari, 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 Hari. And there was a big roar was going. And everyone was feeling ecstasy. So that's... ecstasy was there because of Krishna in the form of his name. Personally also he was there, but not everybody could see. But everybody was feeling the ecstasy, which is non-different from him. Same at in Katuri, famous festival of Narottam Das Thakur. And in that festival, they were chanting during kirtan, and then Mahaprabhu came. Actually, whole Panchatattva came. Everybody was coming. They were all dancing in ecstasy. Not everybody could see, but many people could see that. But everybody was describing the bliss of that place, the ecstasy. So this is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu he's come to give. We want ecstasy. Everybody wants ecstasy. So it comes actually from the holy name. People often ask about when we'll get ecstasy, when we will get ecstasy. But we should understand that it'll come from the holy name. Because the holy name is the Yuga Avatar, and he's come to give that ecstasy of Krishna consciousness. So the answer to that question is when will you get taste? As soon as you become serious about chanting Hare Krishna, as soon as you become seriously absorbed in kirtan, because it's there already. And Krishna's come to give himself. Mahaprabhu has come to give, take, take, take. He's giving freely. Some could take, some could not. Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, the fortunate ones, they can take it. The unfortunate ones, they could not take. And what is the symptom of the unfortunate one? Is that they're overly proud of their own intelligence. They're thinking, by my intelligence, I can become happy. Whatever I do, by my intelligence, I'll do something for the ultimate goal of happiness. So they're overly proud of their own intelligence. Therefore, they cannot accept that what Mahaprabhu was giving freely. And it's the greatest happiness, the greatest ecstasy. Take it, he's giving freely. Uh, But if we're overly proud, then we will not get. I think I can do everything my way. I'll get ecstasy my way. So, in Ramanuja Acharya's pastime, he was in Sri Rangam. With his disciples, they were walking past the pond and he threw some mahaprasad into the pond. These fish came and they ate the prasad and they took forearms and they all went off to Vaikuntha. So all the disciples were saying, Guru Maharaj, Guru Maharaj, you saw that? He said, yeah. He said, what's wrong with that? They said, haven't you seen in the scriptures the glories of mahaprasad and how one gets liberated? Yeah, but we're taking mahaprasad every day, but we don't get forearms. He said, yeah, that's because you're sophisticated. You're too sophisticated. You want to analyze everything and understand how. But those fish, they just simply, they took it and they went back to God. So like that, we're sometimes overly proud of our own intelligence, own calculations, own ability to do things. And that is a stumbling block in receiving Mahaprabhu's gift, free gift of Krishna Prema. So, this incarnation of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is very uncommon. By his mercy then, a person can very quickly attain love of Godhead. Because when someone calls the names of Nityananda and Chaitanya, Krishna Prema comes looking for that person. Nama Avatara, he's the principal means. The holy name is the principal means in Kali Yuga. But one who chants, Nityananda, Gauranga, then Krishna Prem comes looking for him. The Nam is the main feature of Kali Yuga, but the holy name becomes a servant and starts looking for those who are chanting the names of Nitya and God to give them Krishna Prema. Taraka is name of Ram, and it gives mukti, and Taraka is the name of Krishna and it gives Prema. So these names, Krishna and Ram, they're looking for those persons who are chanting Nitya Gaura or chanting Hare Krishna. And Balaram comes, so Ram, Nityananda Ram. Ram comes and gives liberation. And Krishna comes, he gives Prema. So first the purification is there, the liberation is there, Chaitvadarpana Majanam. Then Gauranga comes and he gives prema, taraka and paraka. Taraka Ram, he gives liberation, and paraka is Krishna's name, he gives prema. So paraka and taraka, they're also looking for those persons who are chanting Hare Krishna. Okay, where are they? So, so, Harinam, 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 Ivikivalam, Kalu, Nasti, Vanasti, Vanasti, Vagatiranyata. So, this is the mercy of Gaur Nitai. They come to give the present the Yuga Dharma, the chanting of the holy names of Krishna. So, we simply have to absorb ourselves in chanting of the holy name. In the beginning, there's different stages of realization of the holy name. Or revelations that come from the holy name in different stages. We have a progression, a nam, nam rupa guna lila. So the Holy Name reveals Himself to the chanter according to the sincerity of the chanter. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he's given the meaning. What is the meaning of nam seva? We should have a mood of service when we're chanting Hare Krishna. He named three things. One is having a mood of service to the Holy Name. We're approaching the Holy Name in a mood of service to the Holy Name. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has ordered us to chant Hare Krishna. He's ordered everyone. So we chant Hare Krishna's service to Gauranga. We're serving Gauranga by chanting Hare Krishna. But we should have an attitude of service to the Holy Name. We're actually in the mood of serving the Holy Name by chanting and helping Mahaprabhu expand his mission. And we should not be expecting anything back from the Holy Name, the second one. We shouldn't be chanting with some motivation. Even spiritual motivation. Why? Because then the Holy Name has come to give that revelation anyway. The Holy Name wants to reveal Himself more than anything. That's why He's come here. That's why Mahaprabhu has come. He wants more than anything to reveal Himself to everyone. He's in the heart. He's giving direction. We get so much information. That's all Gauranga ever wants to do, is to give us the holy, the ecstasy of the Holy Name. So we shouldn't be expecting anything from the Holy Name, because everything that we may want or we need, that will be given by the Holy Name anyway. He's come to give, so why we should want something? So not expecting anything from the Holy Name, but approaching the Holy Name in the mood of service. And the third one was, the chanting with complete conviction that Krishna and His name is none different. These three things he mentioned, he said, this constitutes nama seva. So in the first stages, then we're chanting the Holy Name with the understanding of these three features that he spoke of. With the conviction that the Holy Name is non-different than Krishna, chanting the Holy Name, approaching the Holy Name in the mood of service, and not expecting anything back from the Holy Name. So the chanting, as Prabhupada describes in many places, one should just be absorbed in the sound vibration in the beginning. The devotee asks Prabhupada, what should we be thinking of when we're chanting Hare Krishna? And Prabhupada says, there's no question of mind, there's no question of thinking. He said, you're just attentive to the sound vibration, that's all. So that's all. The Rig Veda says that the definition of japa, we're talking about japa now, the definition of japa is that when one is performing japa, his mind should be within the mantra, and the mantra should be within the mind. Then you'll get the fruit of your japa. In other words, there's nothing existing except that sound vibration. The mind is in the mantra and the mantra is in the mind. There's nothing else happening. So it's just absorbed in that sound vibration, which is Krishna. And Prabhupada said it's an art. When you master that art, then you can, it becomes blissful. So the holy name is revealing himself. He wants to reveal himself. He wants to give his bliss. He wants to reveal his qualities. He wants to reveal his pastimes. So we shouldn't expect all the things from the chanting of Hare Krishna, because the holy name will give them anyway. Well, we should just be attentive to the sound vibration in the beginning. Some people are saying, well, we can look at the picture of Krishna, meditate on a picture of Krishna. But then that doesn't become japa. You come out of the realm of japa. You come into dhyanam, you're meditating. You're chanting Hare Krishna, and you're thinking of the philosophy. It's pure Krishna conscious philosophy. But it's not japa anymore. It becomes shankhya. You're analyzing philosophy, and it's great, but it's not japa anymore. I'll put a picture there. I can put a picture of Krishna there in my mind when I'm japa. So then it becomes like a meditation, but also it creates namaparad when we do that. Because that's what the holy name wants to do. He wants to reveal his form more than anything. And we're putting our own form there. So it actually constitutes namaparad. Because I'm putting the picture there of Krishna, which is what the holy name wants to do anyway. So in other words, I'm better than Krishna. I can do what Krishna can't do, I'm better than Krishna because I'll put the picture there, but the holy name wants to put it there. Krishna wants to put his form there. He wants to reveal his form. again, same thing, overly proud of our own intelligence. But when one puts this into practice nicely, and all this meditation of the name being non-different than Krishna, and approaching in a mood of service and not expecting anything from the holy name. Or whatever you do when you're japa, you may have things you do, you like to meditate on something or another, but that's okay, but that should be done before you start your japa. Whatever philosophically you want to establish, that you do before japa. Like in Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's example, you can meditate on Krishna's name is non-different. I should be convinced of that. And I'm going to approach a mood of service. I'm not going to expect anything back from that. That you do before your japa. Then when you do the japa, then there's none of this, no thinking, no meditating, no pictures, no, it's only the sound vibration that's existing. And Prabhupada said, when you've learned the art, then it becomes very blissful. And then Krishna will actually reveal his form. He reveals his presence. And you will realize that Krishna is not different than his name. Not because I've heard it, but because I'm realizing, I'm feeling it. I'm feeling Krishna's presence. And then the holy name, after that, he reveals his form. Your worshipful deity, he will reveal that form in your heart. Then you can meditate on the form. In the beginning you don't meditate on the form that you put there, but when Krishna puts the form there, obviously then you can meditate on that form. So there's different nama, rupa, then guna. Krishna will start to reveal his qualities. The sweetness of his voice, the scent of his body, softness of his touch. Krishna will also, the holy name will reveal all these. Then at that time, it's not, well, I shouldn't be doing anything, I should just be hearing the sound vibe. No, at that time, then you, the reciprocation is there with the sense, gunas. And then lila, the holy name will reveal the lila. Then you can actually see the lila. It's not, and you can even join in the lila. But it's not, although, no, I should just be there should not be nothing happening. I should just be hearing the sound vibration. No, when they're revealed, then you obviously you meditate and you take part and you actually enter into the pastime. That's the, that's the goal. But anyway, this, everything is revealed. It's a progression. It can be instant, but generally it's progression. But this is the how the holy name, he wants to reveal himself to the living entities. So he's come. Someone asked Prabhupada that if the Krishna consciousness is so great, why are not many people are coming? And Prabhupada said, when you're selling diamonds, you don't get many customers. Expensive. But this is the glory of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. And what are we actually doing? We go out on the streets, we do Harinam Sankirtan. And we dance and chant. There's a saying in English, oh yeah, I'll do a song and dance for you. Someone's like expecting too much from you. You say, yeah, I'll do a song and dance for you. It means I'll go out of my way, I'll go that far as to do a song and dance for you because you have some desire. But practically, the Hare Krishna people do this. We do a song and we go out in the streets and give them a song. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. And we dance for them. And we go right down the streets and we dance. You can't get more bold than that when you want to present something. All we're expecting is they ask, you know, can you tell me something about Krishna? That's all. We've got something so much to say about Krishna. Even if it's only that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that's sufficient. We've got so much information to give to tell the people. And we do a song and dance. We go out in the street and do a song and dance. The fortunate ones, they do take it. Unfortunate ones, they'll have to wait. Shri Holy Name Week Ki Jai. Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Samaveda Bhakta Brindaki Jai Nitai Go Premanandi. Hare Krishna. Thank you. Any comment? Question?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Guruji, for a nice class. I have one question. We are hearing Krishna hoy Surusam Maya Andhikar. Yaha Krishna Tahanahi Maya Andhikar. So, like wherever Krishna is there is no Maya. Like, but when we see that when we are chanting, like, you have finished I'm saying about myself, like you have finished your one round, two round, and then immediately after that you are seeing that you are dozing or you are feeling sleepy. So am I taking association of Krishna that time or I'm in the ignorance? Because I'm chanting, but so how it's coming?
Somewhat is coming?
I'm just saying that I'm chanting and I'm seeing that after one, two rounds, finishing my round, I'm dozing, I'm sleeping. So, like how this is coming? Because if I am taking a question of Krishna, so there is no question of Maya. Because sleep is also kind of ignorance. So, in front of Krishna, there is no ignorance.
Oh, that's great. If you can chant one round without thinking of Maya, that's great. Great. You're doing very well. Maya is coming. We're in the world of Maya. There's nothing but Maya in existence. That's, we're facing Maya 24 hours a day. That's great if you can do one round. Then you try to do it, make two rounds, then try to make three rounds.
Prabhu, can I ask?
Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that wherever the mind goes through its flickering nature, one should bring it back to the control of the self, meaning the holy name, the in japa, you bring it back to the holy name. But Krishna himself is saying that the mind will do that. It's its nature. It goes there. You have to bring it back, Arjuna. And practically, this is our main sadhana. Those who are practicing sadhana bhakti, this is the main, our main sadhana is bring the mind back. So that why we should be doing whole day, come back. Krishna says, where it goes, you bring it back. It goes away again, bring it back. It goes, bring it back. Eventually Krishna says you can. It's difficult, he said, but it's possible. If you show you're determined, then the Holy Name will give you the potency to that your mind will stay. And then what happens? One has controlled his mind, Krishna says, super soul is already reached. But that means you're going to feel the presence of the super soul, the nama realization.
Can I ask one more question?
Huh?
Can I ask one more question? I want to ask one more question.
Oh, more question.
Like sometimes some devotee they ask, so I say that, okay, I finished my 16 round only in the morning. Then he says that, Prabhu, I hope you are in Maya. Because when you are like helplessly crying for chant for Lord that you are taking holy name, so that is the best japa, that you are struggling and taking shelter of Krishna and asking their mercy. But you have finished so easily, means I hope you have not done your japa nicely. So which is good?
Can we give a summary?
Like sometimes I complete my 16 round early in the morning and some devotees meet. I say that, Prabhu, my day is very nice today because I have finished my 16 round early morning. And many times he has seen me that I was struggling in my japa. So he said that, Prabhu, I hope you are in Maya, that you have not chanted attentively and you have finished your rounds. And while you were like dozing and you were helplessly crying for Krishna, that is good chanting. So which is the best japa? Like dozing and struggling and then or like finishing rounds early morning, like that.
Prabhupada said, chanting Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, 16 rounds. Now I can do any damn nonsense. Now I can do any damn nonsense. Prabhupada, example he gave. Now it just shows the... It's an individual thing. It's your sincerity that will get you Krishna consciousness. You have to be practiced to bring it back to Krishna, whatever it is. Don't let it go to Maya. You bring it back to everything back to Krishna. You see everything in relation to Krishna. But the whole program of Krishna consciousness, and waking up early in the morning, taking bath, and attending Mangalarti and all these things, that's because it's for never forgetting Krishna. We have forgotten Krishna, so therefore all these rules and regulations. If you can always remember Krishna, you don't need all these rules and regulations. So therefore we have so many rules and regulations because we keep forgetting Krishna. And so we want to always never forget Krishna. The rules and regulations are there so we never forget Krishna. So if you're forgetting Krishna, that means you've got to apply these rules and regulations more, or you've got to give more attention to the rules and regulations. Vedi sadhana bhakti, it works if you put it into practice. So that's what it's for, the whole purpose of the rules and regulations, so you never forget Krishna. If you always remember Krishna, then there's no need for rules and regulations. This Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is saying, here, I'm giving, please take it, please take it. He's giving. If you can't take it, fortunate can take it, unfortunate. If you can't take it, what he's giving, then here, second best, rules and regulations. Vedi sadhana bhakti, panchvachiki vidhi. Mahaprabhu's come to give the best. Here it is, take it. You can't take it, okay, second best. Teach you, yukta vayagya. First is spontaneous. Mahaprabhu is giving, here, take it, it's spontaneous. Right? If you take it, if you're fortunate enough, you can take it. If you're unfortunate, then yukta vayagya. I'll teach you how to perform activities so you never forget Krishna. So the first one is spontaneous, that's love. You cannot teach love. That's something spontaneous. But Yuktavaigya you can teach. So Mahaprabhu is offering, here it is, love. Take it if you can reciprocate. If not, you have to take the second best. That's the, you follow the Vedi Sadhana Bhakti. That you can do, he can teach that. Love you cannot teach. So Mahaprabhu was two main purpose. One, here, take Krishna consciousness, take love of Godhead. If you can't do it, okay. Here are the rules and regulations that will bring you to the stage of always remembering Krishna, never forgetting Krishna. So here is prema. If you cannot take it, then here, I'll teach you. You to Vayagra.
Thank you, Prabhu.
So you put it into practice, be sincere, then you'll get the result.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu. Thank you so much for the nice class. Prabhu, should a devotee be doing pindadan, especially when it's a tradition in your family?
Pindai?
Should a devotee be doing pindadan, especially when it's a tradition in your family? Shraddha ceremony. Pindadan. What do you call in English? Oblations to the forefathers.
Shraddha ceremony.
Like when?
Pinda.
Yeah, should we do it?
You can do it. Gopal Bhatta Goswami says you can. He said when your father is living, then you serve them with love, and when they leave their body, you can offer them Krishna prasadam. Prabhupada said that for devotees, you have a condolence meeting, glorify the devotee's service, have some Harinam Sankirtan, distribute prasadam to everyone, put one plate on the end of the line of prasadam after the ceremony is finished. The idea is that the devotee, he's doing seva, he's serving the Vaishnavas. Then after everything's finished, that plate you put outside, the lower animals can eat it, cows or the crows. That was the process Prabhupada gave. Now if you want to follow according to the Smarta Vidhi, then Gopal Bhatta Goswami says that if you perform that ceremony, which involves worshipping the Pitras, it involves worshipping the demigods, he said you make Namaparad and you make Sevaraparad. If you're an initiated devotee, you will make Namaparad and Sevaraparad because you'll be equating the holy name. You could be chanting Hare Krishna, but you're equating the ritualistic activity as the Shraddha ceremony on equal level with the holy name. You stop chanting to do this ritualist activity. And you've also stopped your seva to do this karmakanda activity. So therefore he said if a devotee does it, who's initiated, he makes namaparad and sevaraparad. He said nowhere in any shastra does it say that a person has to perform the Shraddha ceremony to his father. Nowhere in any shastra it says that person who has been initiated into the bona fide name of Vishnu in the bona fide sampradaya, nowhere does it mention that that person is obligated to do any kind of Shraddha Tarpan ceremony. So if you follow that simple process Prabhupada gave, we're offering some Krishna prasadam, we're not worshipping the Pitras, we're not worshipping the deity.
That Prabhupada told in one lecture that because living being is conscious, so he can't be desireless. You can't be living being, a living being can't be desireless. He must have a spiritual desires. Desireless, can't be desireless, free from desire.
Desireless.
Yeah. So, in the, like you told that Nam Seva, we should not be expecting anything from Nam while chanting. But we can have a spiritual desires because desirelessness is not possible for a living being. Instead of material desire, we can desire for a spiritual advancement or desire for any particular service while chanting, is it offense to holy name or not? Having desire for a spiritual advancement or any particular mode of service, is it offense to holy name or not?
Well, the spiritual advancement is chanting Hare Krishna. That's for your spiritual advancement. Your guru gave you that instruction. That may be the only instruction he ever got, and maybe the only instruction he'll ever get. But he only gave you that one instruction. He gives everyone that same instruction. Chant Hare Krishna 16 times. Because that's going to save you. Your desires, the holy name will create your necessities anyway. In the fifth, third canto. Is it third or fourth? Fundamental principles of material nature. Talking of the creation. And it's talking about how sound is the first, the subtle form sound comes, and then from sound comes the ether, then the combination of those comes the sky, and the combination of those comes, and then, you know, the earth, water, fire, air, and sight, touch, and everything. Everything is coming from, but it starts from a subtle sound vibration, sound. Om. It's the original sound. So everything comes from that subtle sound right down to the gross earth and the fragrance of the earth. So Prabhupada says in the purport there, he's talking about how sound is a first manifestation. That sound, everything we need, any necessity we need in life, it's created by sound. We need a building here. So we have to build a building. We need a place to stay. It's a necessity. But originally it came from sound vibration. That's a subtle form of all the material elements. It started with a sound vibration. So Prabhupada said, we should become convinced that just as all of our necessities in this world, material necessities are coming from a sound, subtle sound vibration, so similarly our spiritual necessities will also come from sound vibration when it's purified. And he said that purified sound vibration is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. That sound vibration will create all of your spiritual necessities. So whatever you need spiritually in the form of whatever it is, qualities, humility, tolerance, or you need actual facility for whatever it is, you want to be above the modes of material nature, the ruchi, the whole progression of right up to prema, to bhava prema, all that whole, that law be produced by the sound vibration for you. Prabhupada said we should come convinced at this point that just as all material things, our necessities are produced by a sound vibration, when that sound vibration is purified, then that creates all of our spiritual necessities. So we really don't have to desire, we simply have to chant Hare Krishna. That sound vibration is the very thing for us anyway, because Krishna knows what we need more than we know. He knows best. It'll all be created from that, if you have that faith. And Prabhupada said, you should, if we have that conviction, you should have that conviction. Thank you.
Prabhu, sometimes we see the Hare Krishna Mahamantra card, written one. Can we see and chant that? Written Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you can do that. You've got to see something. It's not, although if you're in the deity is in front of you, you've got to turn the other way or anything like that. You've got to see something when you're chanting. But the idea is you shouldn't be meditative on
the holy.
Like if you see the deities, you wouldn't start meditating on, you know, how they're looking and how they're dressed. But you've got to be fixed on something. But the purpose is the sound vibration. You're absorbed in the sound vibration. So, what did he say?
It's Hare Krishna card written.
Card, yeah. Card is okay. You can look. Even Gokishore Das Babaji Maharaj. He had some Grihastha disciples. Apparently. I don't know if it's an official initiation or not, but he said, they were quite serious, and he gave them a Hare Krishna card. He said, just look at this in front of Tulsi. Look at the card and chant Hare Krishna. So you've got to be seeing something, but your eyes are fixed. You're not looking at the holy name and then thinking of something else, or you're still fixed in a sound vibration, but your eyes are fixed on the holy name. Maybe good to help you keep the concentration on the holy name vibration. Anyway, Gokishore Das Babaji gave to some disciple.
And you said three things: mood of service to the holy name, in the mood of service attitude, and we should not expect anything from the holy name. And second was, we should have a motivation that holy name will reveal to us. Is it the third one?
Conviction that Krishna, his name is non-different.
Conviction.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the wonderful class. Prabhu, if a devotee has made some aparads, nama aparad, more importantly Vaishnava aparad, and they are suffering in their spiritual life, and maybe not able to chant, maybe not able to associate, even Vaishnavas are distancing themselves from the person, what should this person do? Because there's not much taste for chanting, maybe not so much taste for staying in the association of devotees, but the devotee may also sincerely want to get back somehow. So what should the devotee do?
He has to go to the, if he's made aparad, he has to go to that person who he made the aparad and fall at his feet and beg forgiveness. It has to be that devotee. Even Krishna himself, in the examples of Srivas and Gopal Chapala, even Mahaprabhu didn't forgive. Even the Ambarish Maharaj story. Krishna doesn't forgive. There has to go to that person who made the offense to, and you have to get his blessing.
Prabhu, sometimes, I mean, ISKCON is such a big movement. I mean, the person we made an aparad to may be in another city, maybe even in another country. And sometimes devotees also have this sense that, okay, I also made an offense to him, but he also made an offense. I tried to apologize, but he didn't accept at the time. So now we are all in different places. So, you know, I can't even go there and I may not meet him. So what do I do? How do I at least save myself now to chant and carry on?
No, you can't do anything else. If he's local, or you can directly ask forgiveness if you wrote to him and forgive him forgiveness. And then nothing else you can do. Time.
So does it mean that until that devotee forgives this person, like person writes a letter, and until he forgives totally, this person cannot come out of his situation, or?
No, you did what you're supposed to do, and then you just depend on Krishna. In time it will be rectified. Krishna will rectify it. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
I just wanted to make a comment that there's a place across the river called the Devananda Gaudiya Math. It's the place where Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu forgave Devananda Pandit for his offense to Srivas Thakur. It's just right across the river here. You just go across the river and ask any rickshaw driver to take you to Devananda Gaudiya Math. You can't do this in replacement of actually going to the person and asking him for forgiveness. But according to the Shastra, that if you go over there and you roll in the dust there, and you beg, ask Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to forgive you for all your Vaishnava aparads, then all your Vaishnava aparads will be forgiven. It's called the Devananda Gaudiya Math. I go over there once a month. Once a month I make it over there and I roll in the dust, because I am constantly performing Vaishnava aparads. So anyway, the thing is, if you can directly go to the person and ask for forgiveness, as that's the best thing to do. But as we cascade through life, we commit a lot of aparads that we don't even know we're committing, or we bumble through life. So it's a good place to go just to ask for general forgiveness of aparads. So go over there, roll over in the dust, and you will feel the benefit. Okay? That's my suggestion. Hare Krishna.
Prabhupada said that if you committed some offense that Krishna, he will not forgive. It's very bad, he will not forgive. He said, then you go to Guru and you ask Guru for forgiveness. And if Krishna will not forgive you, if it's such a bad offense, Krishna will not forgive you. He said, then you go to Guru and you ask his forgiveness. And if Guru also says, no, I will not forgive, it's too serious, then you go to Srimata Radharani and she must give you her mercy, forgiveness. Hare Krishna.
In that question by Prabhu, that if we offend somebody, then how to get the forgiveness and how to come out of that situation, is the focus like, if isn't it important that the focus should not be on how to get out of the situation, because I am suffering because of the offense, so how I somehow, like I ask some forgiveness and then I am done with my duty, so I can get out of the situation. And the other mood can be that I have offended a devotee of Krishna, so because he should not feel hurt, so I should go and somehow get forgiveness so that he forgives, so the offense is gone. It's like the focus is on the devotee, right? I offended a devotee, so let me ask forgiveness from the devotee so that he is not offended, and not that I have to get out of the situation. A devotee got offended, why he got offended, let me somehow get forgiveness. Like, and if the focus is the second, then automatically you are forgiven, whether you can meet the devotee or not.
Thank you.
I was asking, like, is that correct?
Oh, it wasn't a comment. You forgive the devotees not for your own sake, but for the other devotees.
Yeah,
that's the more broader understanding there.
Thank you.
Okay. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Holy name wiki jai. Nitai go primanandi.